has been a long morning. We have a little more material that we want to cover this morning. You guys have been in sessions all morning, I know. So let me pray that we would have some clarity, and then we'll dive right in. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunities that you give us here at YXL to spend time in your word with one another. Lord, we thank you for the way that we are able to sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. And we pray now that as we seek to submit our lives to your word, that you would fill us with your spirit, that you would guide our thoughts, that you would give us understanding, and that you would help us as we seek to strengthen and edify one another in your word. And we pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Okay, Grace Talk number 3. You want to kind of review some of the territory that we've covered already. You'll remember on Monday we considered regeneration. Tell me a little bit about regeneration. What is it? New life again, is that what you said? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, to be made new, to be new again. You think of John chapter 3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is what? Born again, right? And this new birth, where does this new birth come from?
Faith in Christ.
Okay. We'll say the new birth leads to faith in Christ is one of the emphasis that we... From the Holy Spirit, right? That regeneration is solely and completely the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? There is nothing that you and I did in order to be born physically. There's nothing that you and I did or contributed in order to be reborn, born again. You could think in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this a gift of God, so that no man may boast. Right? So we consider the fact that regeneration is an important doctrine for us to understand because of the impact of sin. And the result of sin in our life, as we considered on Monday, is the fact that we are spiritually dead, right? We're dead in our sins and trespasses. And so as a result, in order to respond to the free offer of the gospel in repentance and faith, we have to be given a new heart. The Holy Spirit has to renew our mind and open our eyes to the truth of the gospel. And we call that conversion, right? When the Holy Spirit gives us new life, takes our heart of stone, turns it into a heart of flesh, we respond through faith and repentance, conversion. Faith and repentance, you'll remember, leads us into union with Jesus Christ. So by faith, we are united to Christ in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. His life becomes your life, his death, your death, his resurrection, your resurrection. And union with Christ, as David reminded us yesterday, results in several things. The first of those things, when we are united to Christ, we are justified. Somebody in their own words, tell me what it means to be justified. Spencer? Yeah, great word picture. To be justified is to be just if I had never sinned, right? So when we're talking about justification, we're talking about the guilt of our sin. And the guilt of that sin is completely atoned for. And not only is the guilt of that sin paid for, but in its place, you and I are given, as a free gift, the righteousness of Christ. So we're reminded I guess this was actually Monday when, losing track of my days, when David was doing justification, of this great exchange, right? Our sin given, theologically, we talked about our sin imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in turn, his righteousness given or imputed to us. This morning, or this afternoon almost, hopefully we'll only be talking about this morning. We'll stretch into the afternoon. We're going to talk about sanctification. And the two things that I want us to begin, even before we define what sanctification is, I want us to appreciate that sanctification, like justification, is a result of you being united to the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. And sanctification, like justification, comes because of the fact that the Holy Spirit has regenerated you, renewed your heart. And so sanctification, in simple terms, I want to begin by defining, is simply the process of being changed into the image of Christ. Okay? So sanctification is the process of being changed into the image of Christ. It's the idea of transformation, change, renewal. And we'll expand that in just a second. And there's a couple mistakes that we can make as we begin kind of thinking about sanctification, right? One of the major mistakes that we could make is thinking that our justification, that is your standing, your acceptance with God the Father, is in some way based on your sanctification. And what you need, I want you to hold in your mind from David's talk, is that your sanctification, your justification in no way is based on your sanctification. Your growth in grace, your transformation into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, as important as it is, and it is important, we're going to talk about that, it doesn't improve your justification. It doesn't improve your standing before the Father. But the other mistake that we can make is thinking that our justification, our standing with the Father, can in any way be separated from the process of sanctification. And if these are both results from the fact that we have been united to Christ in faith, we find that they are completely distinct, but they're inseparable. As a Christian, if you have been justified, you will be sanctified. So in introducing these three these categories, I want us to think a little bit about the results of sin. And you've heard these already, particularly when we were talking about regeneration. You know, sin does several things to us. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about the fact that because we are sinners, we are all, before our union with Christ, objects of wrath. So our sin brings us underneath the wrath and the curse of God. But that's not all sin does. Sin not only brings us under the wrath and curse of God, it also enslaves us. This is one of the frequent images that Paul talks about. Slavery is fundamentally, or sin is fundamentally, slavery. You know, sometimes we could either we could kind of create the paradigms of either I'm a follower of Christ, or I live my life the way I want to live it. But the picture of Scripture actually is radically different. Scripture says none of us are really free in that sense. The question is, are we serving Christ? Are we a slave to righteousness? Or are we a slave to sin? And third, because of our sin, our entire nature has been corrupted. So Scripture presents sin as having several problems in our life. There's guilt, there's enslavement, and there's corruption. And justification, deals with the problem of our guilt. But God isn't concerned simply with removing the guilt of your sin. His goal for your life, his goal for my life, is much bigger than that. Not only does God set out by sending his Son into the world to remove the guilt of our sin, but he's also at work freeing us from the power of sin and the presence of sin in our life. And that's ultimately what we're talking about when we talk about sanctification. The guilt of our sin is once and for all gone. It's been nailed to the cross. The power of sin, as we'll see in just a moment, is broken. And the presence of sin, slowly, over the course of our life, God is removing. So I want to invite you to open in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. David did such a thorough job with the book of Romans, this may have been one of the few chapters we didn't look at the other day, right? So it'll be fitting for us to come to it today. Romans chapter 6, and as I read the text here, I want you to think of how Paul is describing the way that the cross breaks the power of sin and the way that Christ is removing the presence of sin in our life. Romans 6, verse 1, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means." Why not? "Because we died to sin. Therefore, how can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of those who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." The power of sin in the life of the believer is broken. You're no longer slaves to the sinful nature. And in result of this, Paul goes on in verse 11, he says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin." Because that's, after all, what's true. "But alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, in light of this, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." Paul talks here about the power of sin being broken. And as a result of that, appeals to us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to walk in a radically different way. I want to expand that definition of sanctification that we began with a little earlier. Stated at the beginning, it's simply a process by which we're changed into the image of Christ. The confession very helpfully says that sanctification is the work of God whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of Christ and enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. And so I want to unpack that for you a little bit. First of all, as we began with, sanctification, like justification, is the work of God in your life. It's his work in your life. But it's a work that you and I cooperate in now that we have been renewed by the Holy Spirit. And this renewal Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:16. This renewal is a renewal into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that for a second. What's your picture of Christian maturity? If you're like me, your picture for Christian maturity probably isn't as big or grand as it should be. God's goal for your life, for my life, is that ultimately we would be transformed into the image, into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this renewal is a renewal that takes place throughout the whole man. Paul declares in 2 Corinthians 5 that we are new creations, new creatures in Christ. As a result, the old, that old man, he's gone. And the new has come. And as a result of this, as a result of the fact that we are renewed in the whole man after the image of Christ, what happens is that you and I are enabled by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that moves and works within us. You are enabled. And you are called daily to die to sin and to live to righteousness. To no longer, as Paul puts it there in Romans 6, to present your body as instruments of unrighteousness, but to present it as instruments of righteousness. You know, when you think of sanctification fundamentally being transformation, change into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, kind of a helpful picture for me is the picture of a house that's just completely remodeled. You know, most of you have gotten to see my little kids running around and met my wife, Nicole. I've been happy to have them around this week, and one of the reasons why I'm happy to have them around is because every other year I came to YXL, I'd go home and some new room in my house would be completely changed. One year she redid the bathroom. Like, she tore out a toilet by herself. I don't do any of this stuff. And all this other stuff. But sanctification, a picture of sanctification for you and I, is a picture of a home remodel. And C.S. Lewis puts it this way. He says, imagine yourself as a living house. And God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you could understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right, and he's stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is he doing? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one that you thought of, throwing out a new wing, putting on an extra floor there, and running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage, but he is building a palace, for he intends to come and live in it himself. You're being remade. And this remodel isn't just a little plumbing here, a little electrical work there. It is a complete and radical transformation into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, if to kind of press this illustration a little bit further, if you've ever kind of been engaged in projects, and I hate doing home improvement projects, but here's the reasons why I hate it. First of all, it's always more work than I anticipate, right? that the projects never go as smoothly as you think. And that's sanctification. Overcoming indwelling sin in your life is not going to be easy. It's not. And those remodel projects, not only do they take a lot more time than we anticipate, but they cost a lot more, right? Growing into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a costly thing for you to do. It may cost relationships. It may cost popularity. It may cost you some sort of advancement or the opportunity to fulfill a dream. And the other thing, interestingly, about projects is that, you know, the projects never end. When you do one project, it always leads to another. You ever notice that? You fix one thing, and all of a sudden you realize that something else needs to be fixed. And this is in large measure the way that sanctification works in our life. As you grow, and you will grow, in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ over the course of your life, you will increase in holiness. God has promised that he will finish the good work that he began in you. But the more you grow in holiness, the more you grow in righteousness, the more you grow in your conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you start to see your sin all the more clearly. It's kind of the irony of sanctification. You're growing in righteousness, but at the same time, you're becoming so much more aware of other sin that you never knew was there. And as a result, the process of sanctification, the process of being renewed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't a process that leads us away from Jesus, right? And this is something that you've kind of indirectly heard from Ryan throughout the course of the week. The more we grow in our sanctification, the more we're also growing in our awareness of our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we see new sin, new projects that are still yet undone. And the beautiful thing is that God intends not only to remove the guilt of your sin, but to remove the presence of sin in your life. And next time we're going to talk about glorification, which is really just the completion of sanctification. The day when God does remove the presence of sin fully from our life. And our sanctification finally catches up with our justification. But for now, I want you to kind of reflect upon the fact that we are called to grow into the very image and likeness of Jesus. And it's a difficult and a costly thing to do, and the more we do it, the more we recognize our need for him. I think it's just about lunchtime, so I am going to pray. And John, do you have any announcements before we head out? All right. So let's pray as John's making his way down front. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your grace in our life and for the fact that you sent your Son into the world not only to die for the guilt of our sin, but so that we can be raised with him in newness of life. And Lord, I do pray that you would renew us, that you would strengthen us, and that you would transform us this very day into the image of our Savior, and that you would use us for your glory, we pray. In his name, amen.